Wow. Well, Jesus, thank you for today. Jesus, thank you for giving us a hope and a future. Jesus, thank you for giving us your holy word. Jesus, we know it doesn't come back void, so help us to not only hide it in our heart so we don't want to trespass, but that, Lord, we'll have the tools for living on this earth until you come back for us. Thank you for all that you're doing and the way that you're doing it. Thank you that even when we don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. So thank you for that. Help us to well up in appreciation based on your Spirit's power as our counselor, as our teacher, as our facilitator, as our guide. Oh, Jesus, you are the reason why we're here and why anybody would make time to come hear about you, learn about you, and make active decisions about you from here going forward, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. So I wanted to just give a report here about prayer. We started with 12 people, and we're looking for people that would pray pairs, threes or fours, or small groups that would pray for 15 minutes or more on a regular basis. Now, if you pray solo for 15 minutes, yes, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because we said, look at how much time we have in terms of minutes each day where we're not praying. We're not praying. That's a lot of time. So we're trying to promote this. And so I think it's happening. Let me explain. The small groups that are praying, I heard rumor has it that Wednesday night ladies group, that they're praying. Is that true? Yeah. So maybe 10 of you guys are more in there, perhaps. Okay. And then I know the men's group are praying for 15 minutes. Okay. And then we've got Paul's group that's praying for 15 minutes. So I think, let's see here. I think maybe we're close to 40, which, yeah. I'll try to fill this in so that, go ahead. So the Spanish ministry, yes. So we're just looking to see what Jesus would have for us. We just want to know, but we won't know unless we petition him. That's the way we communicate with him. And so I'm encouraged. We're gonna bolster that for next week after I get the where we're at numbers. Because remember the other one, it took forever. It's like, yeah, we're not doing that. He just keeps talking about it. Okay, so that's really cool. Today, I want to motivate, I want to encourage you to go home today and pray. To go home and just close everything out and just connect. I don't care if it's in pairs, if you're doing it solo. I don't care if it's not on the chart. Your life's going to be different if you do that. Talk about different. Today, I'm going to give you the first part of the prayer message. Then I'm going to leave and go baptize a couple people that I'm going to rejoice with that you're going to see. And Philip, where's Philip? Where's... Oh, he's going to come and fill in. He has a little spiel to do. So is somebody going to get Philip in that? Okay, I got a thumb up there. Excellent. Okay, sounds great. He'll come in then while I'm going up there. But then I'm going to come back and then talk about, does God want us doing repetition in prayer? Did Jesus pray repetitious prayers? Did the Apostle Paul pray repetitious prayers? And we're gonna see that. And we're gonna be surprised and utterly shocked. And then how is it that Jesus prayed so much? He's God. And he's praying to the Father. What sense are we gonna make of that? So we've got an action-packed day. Or morning and plenty of time, which is nice. Let me take out my handy-dandy little clicker here, which I accidentally took home. I thought, oh no, if I lose it, I'll be sunk. Oh, not good. Hey, you wait right here, and the second bigger ark will be along to pick you up. What happened to the dinosaurs? Some say, they're reptiles, and their bones, they never stop growing. So when people live to be 900 years old, wouldn't you imagine that lifespan for dinosaurs, how they could grow to be extra, extra, extra huge and large? It's a theory. I'm not going to go to bat on it. I'm not going to die on a hill for it, but it's a pretty good theory. But I thought that was cute. Second, bigger ark will be along to pick you up. Silly dinosaurs. Oh, gracious. Tommy, raise your hand. What's up, Tommy? So Tommy works on cell towers. And he installs like those Tesla electric ports. Thank you. That's even better. And He wrote me last week a unique text message, and I'm going to share it because that's what we do to encourage. We encourage. Hello there, Pastor Don. I am working at Frito-Lay Distribution Warehouse in San Diego, installing EV charging stations. Every morning we have a tailgate safety meeting. Then we have to do morning stretches. Every day last week after stretching, I would say, how about we say a prayer now? I wound up praying by myself. This morning after we did our normal routine, I had to continue it right over there. I said again, how about we say a prayer? To my surprise, they said yes. So I had 15 construction workers all in prayer on a job site. Made me feel pretty good. That's pretty cool. So we pray to the Lord for courage. Courage. And I'm just wanting you to go home today and pray by yourself. With a family member, that would be even better. That's what I'm looking for. We had a couple times in the office this week where people would come in while we're praying, and they joined in. They weren't even invited, but we had our eyes closed so we couldn't control it. And they came in and started praying. Yeah. Once Camille was there and said, hey, we've got some concerns. Can we just start praying? Can we just start praying about this? And so we did. Prayer is our direct line. The way we communicate with our Creator. Hey, if God knows what we're going to pray for ahead of time, why pray? Why pray? And so Matthew 6:8 says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. It's like, well, why are you talking about prayer for so many weeks? Isn't there more to talk about? Yes, but nothing more important. Nothing more important. Somebody look up Matthew 6, 7 and read it out loud. Matthew 6, 7 and read it out loud.
And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words.
So that translation gets it right. Some of your translations say, do not pray in vain repetition. And you're going, wait, but Jesus prayed in repetition. What? You don't see it today. But Paul prayed in repetition. You don't see it today. So we're kind of stuck. What is that main repetition? You said empty words. You said praying with just words that don't make any much of sense. That's what we're not to do when we translate that from the Greek correctly. So pretty nice. Hey, this is a nice Jewish family. If God already knows, then why pray? Then why pray if God already knows? To the Greek and the Romans, I'll get there in a second, because they pray uniquely to a God, lowercase g. However, to the Jews, Yahweh delights in meeting the needs of his people. He is their father. In the Old Testament, we got about 15 places that talk about to the Jews, to the Hebrews, he's Father. In the New Testament, what does Jesus do? He tells his disciples how to pray and addresses them, Father, our Abba Daddy. And so you're thinking, wow, that's a reason to pray. Because you're his children if you're born again. Fast forward to Jesus. Jesus bases everything on relationship and communication with prayer and worship. And so for you to go home and to connect with God Almighty, Abba Father, Abba Daddy, you're opening up the communication lines to living, to having hope, to having the rest of your day go better. How it began, or how it was yesterday. Now go back here to the Greeks, to the Romans. The Romans adopted the Greek pantheon of gods. The gods didn't love people unconditionally. These gods were smarter than humans, but not infinitely so. So whether that's the Greek pantheon, Mesopotamia pantheon, they had gods that would address different parts of your life. And there was a myriad of gods that you're praying to. And so when you did that, they were just maybe basically barely bolstered above humanity. And so what deity form is that? Who's going to help you there? No one. But everyone looks to fill the void with something. We choose Jesus Christ to fill the void. So much. So why pray? Why pray? I need more evidence. Jesus relates to us in prayer in Luke 11. 11 through 13, as a son who is requesting from his father an egg or a fish. Oops, spilt my water. So, thank you, Paul. Look at this verse. We're going to see it here. Why pray, Pastor? Why go home and pray with a family member? What is it about connecting with Jesus today? Look at this. Which of you fathers, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Thank you. If you then, though you are evil, because we in our flesh, who struggle with the flesh and want to work in the spirit, us who are occasionally, sometimes more than occasionally, evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Wait a second. There's got to be more to this. Yeah, look. The Jews, disciples, message to them, now, by Jesus, he gives good gifts. This surprised the Jews who believed that the Holy Spirit had left and was available only to several of the holiest people. Wow, that's a score. Thank you. So remember in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came on people and then came off people. And then came on people and then remained for different periods of time and worked to various degrees. So the Jews did not know this was available. What are you asking in prayer for that the Holy Spirit will help you and guide you and deliver you from? What are you asking for? I hope it's a lot, because God expects us to look to him in prayer to release the power of the Spirit in our lives. That's why we do altar calls. That's why we testify. Because we need to see God's amazing grace and work amongst us. See his power, be encouraged by it, and then watch it go and sail to no end in Christ, in the Spirit's power. So look at these promises. The Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. Boom! The church just went everywhere. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. What are you trusting him for? Put down on your outline something that's worthwhile, that you're thinking right now, that you need to be praying for and trusting God for, that you'll remember to pray later. And if you go, no, I'm okay, I don't want to do that, just keep going, getting hungry. No, stop. It's worth the time. It's really worth the time. Oh. Technology service, next. Thank you, let me see if I can do it. Okay, I'm back. Hey, why pray? Pastor, I'm not convinced. I'm not going home to pray, leave me alone. I'm not gonna pray a couple times a week like that. No, I'm in a routine, I'm fine. According to who? According to your own 3-pound brain version that you're fine and your family's fine? Reflect on that. Pray and ask Jesus about that. Pray and see that he would ask you perhaps to keep going in prayer and make a little more time for him. I guarantee you, if you do today, the rest of your day will be better. You won't come back at the end of the night and say, if I didn't pray that 15 minutes today extra, I would be in a much better place to have made dinner and not be so hungry. You're just not going to do that. You're not going to do that. Hey, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 12. You're going, give us context, Pastor Don. Give us context of every verse. I don't want any false teachers in here. Excuse me, that sounded gross. Okay. Solomon advises his son with warnings about wisdom rather than the praise of it. So, remember Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord, okay? And lean not with your own understanding. Remember that? So that verse is nestled in between verses 3 through 12. Solomon advises his son with warnings about wisdom rather than the praise of wisdom. Got to know who it comes from. We can go to school. We can read a lot. Been around the block. We know a lot sometimes. And that just gets in the way from learning. From learning. So let's look at this here. Okay, hang on. I think I'm... The battery looks fine. Okay. It doesn't matter, okay? Jonathan, we're on today together, okay? Here it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. So, you're trusting and you're leaning. You're trusting and you're leaning on the Lord. So when you think about this, there's a couple things we want to think about. If you're going to trust in the Lord with all your heart, you're going to be connecting with Him. You're going to be praying maybe multiple times a day. Bite your tongue. Maybe multiple times a day. It's possible. People out there, people that, those of you who do it, you're reporting greater peace and comfort throughout your day. You're reporting seeing the hand of God in all of your actions, unlike other ways and forms where you just skip it. And in hindsight, you're going, well, I could have prayed about that. God delivered anyway. And you kind of fly by the seat of your pants. So as you look at this, dependent thinking here. Yes, dependent on God or no? Trust and lean on the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him and He will make your path straight. So, submit to Him. Submit to Him. Dependence in asking God to take this thing in my life, I give it to you. Well, then show what it is that shows that you're leaning on the Lord and that you're depending on Him and not on your own understanding. What evidence is there for that? Support yourself by trusting and leaning on who? The Lord. And then how? Prayer, and then, but there's a specific thing here. Submit to Him. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all ways, which is submit to Him. Thank you, David. And He will make your path straight. This is prayer. If you're having trouble praying alone, call somebody. And get with them in prayer. Get with them in prayer. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts than your thoughts. Do you know what this means? When you pray, you're connecting with Jesus. And all of a sudden, you're connecting with the deity that has made you born again. that's going to give you wisdom. It's going to impart direction because his thoughts are so much higher. His ways are so much better. Who doesn't need that today in their life? Multiple times. Don't have me get into my binocular and look at that tunnel view and find out which of you are not praying. Just kidding. I just thought it was funny for the time being there. Wasn't part of the act. Wasn't part of the act. I know. It just was there, and so my brain goes, well, that looks like a little telescope. So why pray? Hey, this speaks of God's transcendence. He's inside of time, and he's outside of time. Outside of time, he's unknowable. He's unreachable. That's transcendent. He's the only deity you'll find that's inside of time, working with us, and outside of time. Transcendent. Pretty amazing. You go, well done. Don, here, let's look at this here. If these thoughts, what's the context here? You gave us a verse, but how do I know I can apply it to my life? Well, here's what we've got here. In Isaiah 55, 6 through 13, and 8 and 9 falls in there, it's salvation is available to all. And this is what God wants known, because the Babylonian exile is over. And the people are able to go, his people are able to go rebuild their temple under Zerubbabel. Okay? And so you got Israel going back, and all the nations around are seeing the deliverance of the Hebrew people after they get bamboozled by the Babylonians, then King Cyrus, okay? The Persians take over, then they go back, and they get to rebuild their temple. So Yahweh looks good. Yahweh looks good. My thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God in his transcendence. He can help you in any situation. He can help me. Babylonian exile for Jews to show the world Yahweh is great and delivers. Within the Mesopotamian pantheon, council of seven gods, the highest gods resembled humans in their character and behavior. Same for the Greek gods. That the Romans just took over the Greek gods. They were all in place. They just adopted them. And were subject to the laws of the land. If you think you can find another deity besides Jesus who can help you, remember that video from a long time ago, Bob Newhart, when he's counseling? Stop it! Stop it! Our thinking is off. But you got to just make some time to communicate with him. You got to make some time to communicate with Jesus. You got to free up some time. My wife and I, we have an understanding. I'm going into the room to pray. We leave each other alone because we come back different for each other. Way different. These gods were not elevated above the natural world, nor transcendent in the way that Yahweh is understood to be. So in that time, if you would go get Philip, we've got the results of some praying that we've been doing for a couple weeks. And in a moment, in about 5-6 minutes, we'll come back and do the end of this repetition and this prayer doctrine and message, which 3 more short slides. But we've got a baptism to witness. There's a couple that I've been praying for quite a while. And God's just moving in their life. And so can you guys go get ready? And I'll go get ready. And Philip's going to come and talk about prayer in his life. What has God been doing in his life? Prayer, that is.
Thank you. Sorry, I was busy praying right now. I know it sounds strange, but I was helping in childcare, and we were just praying over the snack time, and one sec. We're gonna get through this. I know. So anyways, so I prayed over the snack time for us. And it's so interesting, you know, as the kids get older, the more scared they seem to pray, you know. It's like, okay, we're going to have conversational prayer. Let's go ahead. We'll just go around and we'll pray. And you see a lot of people or a lot of kids, and they're kind of scared. You know, they're a little shy, don't want to pray. They don't want to, you know, be involved. They don't want to participate. But in childcare, we have to wait for every one of the kids to pray, you know, and it's beautiful. So they're all praying, and they're all, you know, getting out their thank yous and for their friends, for the snack. And I was thinking, man, that's just wonderful. If we could all pray like that, just how the children pray, I mean, I think life would be much easier. But enough about the children. This is about the adults. So lately, in the last couple months here, we've been doing Celebrate Recovery on Monday nights, which has been excellent. If you guys haven't been, you know, it's for everybody. It's really, you know, just recovering from the human life. A lot of people want to say it's a recovery program for, you know, drug addicts, alcoholics, you know, that substance abuse. But it's really just this world that has, you know, put us through the ringer, you know, all your hurts, habits, hang-ups. And we've been doing our Monday nights, and we do a group, and then we do a smaller group where we get more more personal, more close to each other. And the last few weeks, I just felt a call like, man, I know this is like an anonymous thing, but we've been having some consistency with guys, and it's like I'm just hearing the need for these gentlemen in my group to be prayed over. So I came up with I'm not reinventing the wheel here. And I just started using like little 3x5 note cards, you know, and I'm just writing, you know, everybody's first name and taking their prayer requests. Because when I started praying, I found myself at just a loss. Like, well, what am I going to pray for? I can't spend 10 minutes in prayer because I don't have things that are going to take me 10 minutes to pray for. So as I'm on this journey and just, you know, growing closer to God, making my relationship more intimate, I'm realizing that the more people I have to pray for, the longer I'll be in prayer. So I have a card from 2 weeks ago. I have a card from a week ago. And I think this goes along with like unanswered prayers. Oh, I prayed for this once. I didn't get an answer. I'm not going to pray for it again. But if you have the card, you have the reminder. It's like, oh, I'm going to continue praying. Because I haven't had an answer yet, so I'm just going to be diligent and just continue that. And sure, pen and paper might be, you know, a little old school or more traditional, and that's fine. At one of my Bible studies on Friday night, we do them on the phone. That can't work for me because you get notifications, you get pop-ups, you get distracted, and now you're no longer praying, and you're down, you know, whatever social media rabbit hole you're on, and you didn't spend any time praying, and that's almost kind of worse, right? So I've just been writing things on a note card and just taking them to God and spending time. And before you know, you can set a timer if you want. I don't really think that's necessary because the important thing is to just spend time in prayer. And I know pastor's asking for 0.07 minute, you know, time a day. And everybody's got to start somewhere. So even if you just, like, pray for all the small things and you're like, well, you know what? I didn't have anything to pray for, but just like Pastor John saying, oh, this person's in my contact list, I'll just pray for that person's health, their well-being, that God's blessing them. You know, things that I would pray for myself, I would just say, hey, this person here was on my heart, I'm going to pray for them. And then you can grow from that. You can just say in passing, hey, Robert, Gary, what can I pray for you for? Are you worried about getting to work? I'll pray for your drive to work. You know, little things like that. And it will just keep increasing and increasing. And then not only that, when the prayers are answered, like I've had a few prayers answered on my cards, I'll go, hey, you know, I was praying for you for this. you know, what's going on with you, so you can check in. And then it also, that's building community within your prayer. So I just want to finish with Hebrews 5, just a little thing there. And it says, I have it. And it's Hebrews 5:7. And it's talking about Jesus, the high priest. And it says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. And that was Jesus. So if anything, if we're getting anything out of prayer, it's to follow the perfect example. Because there's a lot of examples in the Bible of people praying. But I think Jesus is the ultimate example. He was in prayer. He was in communication with the Father. I think we should also do it in obedience as well as, you know, growing our relationship. Just like with baptism. We're being obedient to the Father. This is what Jesus did. These are things that we should do. Thank you.
Trust in the Lord and lean not on our own understanding. Fair enough? If we believe in wisdom, our knowledge, not trusting in God, there's going to be a problem. But we do that a lot. We don't have time for God. So trust Him and lean not on your own understanding. Then, Isaiah 55, you've got a transcendent God who's eminent, okay? He's working within us, in our world, as well as outside. The only deity claim that is just far, far above what we could ever ask for. Incredible. Oh, it's working now. Awesome. Maybe you're just kind of tricking me. Okay. Hey, so continuing in prayer over time. Let's look at this.
Petition prayer recommended. Did Jesus and Paul pray repetition prayers? And how and when did Jesus pray? So let's look through this. 5, 6, 7 more minutes and we'll be done. But it's a doctrine of prayer. We want to find everything we possibly can to be better prayer stewards, prayer warriors for Jesus. And find our life, remember, markedly changed as a result of it. Jesus models an unbelievable amount of prayer with multitudes. Following him, he withdrew. So these multitudes were just, they wanted his time, they wanted his energy, they wanted these powers. So he had to withdraw. Remember this brown book? This brown book? Okay, on page 26... it says, Jesus often withdrew to deserted places and prayed, Luke 5:16. During the days, he went out in the mountains to pray and spent all night in prayer, Luke 6:12. Very early in the morning, while it's still dark, he got up, went out, made his way to a deserted place, and he was praying there, Mark 1:35. And after he said goodbye to them, he went to a mountainside to pray. When evening came, he was alone on the land, Mark 6:46 and 47. Jesus is God. And he chose to spend so much time praying to the Father. Even though he said, me and the Father are one. But you see, prayer, we can't foresee the benefits. When we try to connect with Jesus, when we try to connect with God himself, we can't even foresee the good that's going to have our mind opened with and for. We can't even begin to see it. We can't even begin to fathom it. We just got to step out and do it. And you go, I don't know what to pray for. Pray for adoration. Confession. By the way, after the next 2 weeks, we're going to spend a week on confession. Look at David, King David's prayer of confession in Psalm 51. We're going to spend time in just confession. Confession and see that. But as we go here, as we go and we see the brown book, and as we testify on the behalf of Jesus, there's every reason to see that prayer has got to be a vital part of everything we do. Look at the parable of the persistent widow. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? So you're going, wait, I cry day and night? I cry out in prayer day and night? You're highly favored. You're trusting in the right source. You're leaning not on your own understanding. You see what I'm saying? You're in a good place. Keep doing it. But I don't want to keep crying. It makes me miserable. It makes me vulnerable. Keep doing it. When you are weak, he is strong. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Repetition prayer. Oh my. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Paul asked God 3 times for his thorn to be taken away. Repetition prayer. It's okay. It's okay. It's not a sin. Jesus in repetition prayer. Look at this. Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Mark 14:36. Asks the Father to remove this cup. He then goes to the disciples who are sleeping, doing a great job sleeping, then goes again and prays the same prayer, saying the same words. Mark 14:39. Disciples are tired. Okay? You just it's kind of like us. We get tired pretty easy. So yes, repetition prayer. Yes, pray all times of the day, all times at the night. And watch the peace that passeth all understanding. Guard your heart and mind. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. That was to a church that was a really positive, well-known church in Philippi. And that church, I mean, they had some cattiness, some backbiting in the church. And that's what precipitated that Philippians 4, 6, and 7. But be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. He means that. The Apostle Paul means that. With thanksgiving. He means that. He means that. I close with this. Look at that. Walking with Jesus, are we? I hope so. I hope today you're walking with Jesus. Give it 15 minutes this afternoon. And just watch how life just slows down. And how all of a sudden you're just thankful for your family and thankful for things that you never dreamt that you could be thankful for because you took the time to just reflect on our transcendent, immutable, loving God that wants to hear from us. The 12, no mas, for management or physical needs. Well, that's out of place, but that's okay. I digress. Here we go. Hey, to close, challenge, pray without ceasing. Start today. Did I mention today for 15 minutes get alone or get with somebody? Did I mention that? Yeah. Sorry. Okay. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Okay? And then look at this. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Guess who that is that's speaking of? It's the apostles. They got tired of having their prayers hindered. They got tired of not being able to evangelize. So in Acts chapter 6, they set up deacons and deaconesses. they really did. They set up deacons to help out so the elders could go about evangelizing and prayer. Evangelizing and prayer. It's that important. It's that important. So I don't know what that's going to look like for you. Can we have our singers come forward, please? Our singers? Anybody coming forward with a flag or interpretive dance, come forward? In some churches, they have that, and it's quite nice. People are singing, and people are doing the flag. You know, and then they're marching around. We've done it. Oh, we've done it. We've done it. Huh? Huh? Yeah. So right now, is your prayer life perfect? If you say yes, then stay after for part two of the sermon from 11:40 to 11:30 to 12 o'clock. Because there's something wrong with that. Is there anybody besides myself, who would be willing to just step out and pray more starting today. And you go, Don, I'm not giving you 15. I'll give you 7.5. Okay, I'll take it. And God will take 6.5. You know what I'm saying? This God is merciful, slow to anger. Thank you. So anybody besides myself, I got a couple people. Good. Good, 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 good. So if you wouldn't mind, if you really will give some time to praying alone and with people, would you just stand up and just maybe either lock arms or just kind of make a line around the church so we can all pray? And if you're going, I don't want to, I don't like COVID, I don't want to be close to people, then just stay where you're at, okay? But if you're willing to just say, I'm going to step out and do more prayer, this is between you and the Lord. Ooh, and some people are standing right where they're at, joining hands. Camille, that's beautiful. Some people are just, yeah. We know God's will when we pray and we listen to His word. Diego, yes, we've got a place for you. Come on in. Yes. Awesome.